418 in your songbooks. Go ahead and stand with me if you would. We'll sing the first verse of Faith is the Victory, 418 in your songbooks. Together on the first verse.
Encamped among the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is a victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is a victory.
Please remain standing as we pray.
And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again we could gather here together in your house. Thank you for this beautiful day and this time we could take a look into your word. Pray that it would be your word and not our own clever inventions. Lord, that you would get the honor and glory and to challenge us to serve you the best that we could. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I've had this thought I've been wanting to share for weeks, and then I just didn't develop it fully until about an hour ago when I found out that it was my turn to bring the Sunday school challenge. Come on, that's not funny. I was talking to Jordan weeks ago, and he mentioned about taking notes in church. And I was off and on with that, more off than on. But then I got to thinking about it later. He probably doesn't even remember our conversation. But I thought about it later, and that basically is how I got through high school. You know, in high school, now I went to a big public high school, York Votech. Kelly Abel sits back here. He was there. He's not here now. But same school, same year. You know, the kids in school carrying on and having fun and goofing off. I tried to pay attention in class and take good notes. What did I do with the notes? That's a different matter. Didn't do a lot of the homework. And the kids, you don't need to. You do your homework, kids. But if I pay attention and take good notes, I do all right. I wasn't the top of the class. And if a big test was coming and I was worried about it, I would have those notes. And I would go over the notes some, and I did some of the homework, but not all that you can't do. I am a reader, but there's always, to this day in my life, there is too much reading to be done. You have to decide what you can read. And that's how I got through high school. And I would occasionally take notes in church now, you know, through all these years. And what do you write it on? You write it on the back of a bulletin. And what do you do with them? They're piled all over my desk. They're a mess. So then I thought, I'm going to get a notebook. So I found this, I got this five-subject notebook. Five subjects. That's what it came with. Well, we have Sunday school, morning worship, Sunday evening, Wednesday night. So then it becomes a journal of all the messages. And if there's a guest speaker, you just do that right at the same. Last week, we had just a couple minutes after choir practice, and I know we're doing a study, a series. It's really good for a series. We're studying Revelation. I got it out, and I read the previous week's notes before the message. Tremendous improvement. And so, well, like the children in the classes downstairs, I hope you're asking your children, what was the message about? We spend a lot of time sitting here, hearing these messages, and I get home, I get out the door, and it's gone. I'm the only one with this problem, I know. What did he preach about? Tell me one thing he preached about. Why did I spend this time here? And it's a temptation. And so if I wrote it down, it helps me tremendously to remember it. And that's how I got through high school. And here I am some years later. That's an effective tool. So if you take the notes, And I was curious. I want to do that. How many of you regularly, maybe not every time, but regularly take notes? Wow, I'm impressed. How about occasionally? We say how many occasionally take notes. Okay, and then what do you do with them? So this notebook has really been nice. I've been using it since early September. It becomes a journal. Then, so here's our scripture reference. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. And you know these verses. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And it goes on. We know this passage. How are we going to talk about these words if we don't remember them for 5 minutes? And so the notes has really been a great tool for me for that. So my challenge, first part of the challenge, is to maybe step your note-taking up a notch. And the other challenge is for lunchtime today. When you're at home and lunch is on the table, what was the message about today?
Oh, good reminder to all of us. You know, one of the reasons why I write my sermons is for that very purpose, that you remember better. You remember what is written. What you take time to write sticks. It sticks more than what you just hear. And so appreciate that challenge from Warren on that practical aspect of just retaining what we hear. If you have your Bibles, turn to Leviticus chapter number 20. Leviticus chapter number 20. Many of you have been praying for Jerry Ross, and I wanted to give an update on him to you this morning. Brother Jerry had his PET scan on Thursday, and his tumor has not changed at all. And so he is keeping pretty much a full schedule, but he did ask for prayers. He'll need to meet with the doctors and decide what is the next step, so to speak, as far as treatment, or if there's treatment for it, or whatnot. So remember Brother Jerry in your prayers. Of course, we still have a lot of people that are out due to sickness, and we appreciate them. We're praying for them, but we appreciate that they're staying home. Just a good reminder during this season to, wash your hands. And if you got a fever or you're sick, please stay home. That helps everybody here from getting it. And so we have a live stream to be able to help those out that have those things. And now that doesn't mean that if you wake up with an ache to stay home, okay? Like, you can't pass your ache to me. But if you have a fever, you know, or something like that, I really, really don't want it. Nobody else really wants it. And so just a good reminder to all of us. It's good to have Nikki and Mary in the service today. And they have been coming. And I think it's Esther that picks them up, or most times goes down and picks them up down in Delta. But it's good to have them in service. They got saved this summer in our teen rally. And they have been working to get to church, and we thank the Lord that we have them here in Sunday school. It's also good to see Frank Gerald today in Sunday school, and we had a wonderful talk with Frank yesterday, and Frank knows the Lord as his Savior and is hungry for the Word of God, and told me that basically the Lord has been dealing in his heart to get back to church, and specifically to Mount Zion Baptist Church. Is that right, Frank? And so he is here, and you get it. What's that? Friendly people. That's what he told me yesterday. He said, you know what? He says, your church has friendly, genuine people. That's what he said. And it's a reminder. When visitors come our way, it's a reminder to be friendly to them, right? That makes a difference in their lives. And so it's good to have Frank coming, and we're excited to have him coming to our church. We are in Leviticus chapter 20, but before we get started, remember a couple weeks ago we introduced the idea or the concept in Scripture of Eureka. Eureka obviously being a word that is in our New Testament over and over. It's translated find or findeth. It has certainly the strong implication of somebody diligently searching, and in their diligent search, they find something or someone. And so in this study on building a biography of God, we are diligently searching the names and the attributes of God in order to learn more about our God. First week and a half on the series, I gave you the benefits of knowing God. And then last week, we just got into the Lord of Hosts, the name of the Lord of Hosts. And today, we're going to work those other names. But I wonder if somebody, if we have a couple mics ready. I think we have a mic here ready, and we have a mic back there ready. If you have a eureka, that is, you studied something and you learned something about the Lord this week, or you learned something by your prayer time, and you would like to share it. We want to take those testimonies every week. We want to have people that have learned something be able to share something if you have something on your heart. Anybody like that this morning that you would like to share a eureka? Eureka. All right. Did anybody study their Bibles this week? Do we have study? All right. Pastor Todd over here. All right. Get us started.
Psalm 74:12 says, "For God is my king of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth." And I was studying through some of the Psalms as Asaph wrote many of them, and it just struck me, God is my king, and do I put him on the throne every day? Is my king, capital K. God is my king.
Amen, amen. Somebody else, somebody else. Karen, right next to him.
I have learned in Psalm 40, verse 17, where it says, "I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me." And when I read that, I was like, wow, a holy and righteous, almighty God thinks of me.
Amen.
You know? And I thought, wow, that was a big wow moment. Thou art my help and my deliverer, make no tarrying, O my God. And I also got to thinking now, as we're talking, I'm thinking, he thinketh upon me. How much time do I or any of us take time to think about him throughout the day?
Amen.
Pretty sobering.
Amen. Somebody else with the eureka. Anybody else with the eureka this morning? Over here, Anna Parks. All right.
I've been studying through the book of Isaiah in my devotions, and just the other day I was reading in Isaiah 43, and a couple verses stuck out to me, and it said, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." And I was just reminded that he's my redeemer. But beyond that, he's also a personal God. He calls me by my name, and he knows me. And I am his. And the thought stuck out to me as I was going over it this morning that he puts parameters. When I walk through those dark times, he knows how far I can go. And I also have a companion that walks with me. Amen. That was a blessing to me.
Amen. Amen. All right. Somebody else. Somebody else with a eureka. Joe Heidler over here. Anybody else after Joe that we can get a mic to this morning? Anybody else that has something they would like to share? All right. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if this is actually your eureka moment or just an observation, but I'm still studying Habakkuk, and I've been studying it for weeks. And I thought I learned a lot about it. And this past week, I checked out another source that I was reading, and it just hit me. I don't know anything. You just got to keep reading. You got to keep reading. Yep. And that's...
Yep. Yeah. Amen. Amen. We're in Leviticus chapter number 20. Thank you, gentlemen, for helping with the mics this morning. Leviticus chapter number 20. We're looking at the second word. If you didn't... Everybody get a handout for today? Is there anybody that did not get a handout for today? Our ushers have them ready. Ben Hoxie over here. Brother Steve. Caprice. Anna. All right. A few over here. Anybody else not get a handout that would like a handout? Brother Eric up here. Anybody else? Brother Vasileski in the aisle, and Anna and Lisa Dirks over here, Brother Ralph. All right. Brother Ralph, if you can get Anna and Lisa there, and then Bonnie up here. Okay, this handout has some of the same names on it that we had last week because we've not finished that, and I hope to finish that today. Pastor Jared will be doing the next 2 weeks, and then I think it's Brother Waldemeyer or Pastor Todd after that. They each have 2 weeks as well. On the back is a place for you to write some notes about these names, even a prayer to the Lord maybe about these names. But it gives you a place to maybe put some more information down about these names. Last week, your assignment was to study out God is my defense, okay? And so I hope that you got to study a little bit about that. There's some verses on there that you can study that. This coming week, if you look at the attributes of God, for personal study, obviously your Eureka or what you may have found just in your normal devotions. But then beyond that, God is a refiner. He's a refiner. And there's some verses down below under Bible references that deal with God's refining work in our lives. And so I want to encourage you. I know it's Thanksgiving week. I know your schedule's not going to be normal. But let me encourage you to spend some time and be diligent to know your God. All right? The benefits of knowing your God. And again, when we're doing something like this as a church, I would recommend that you use this as a supplement for your devotions, so that you're bringing this into devotion, so that you're, you know, as a teacher, when I taught in our Bible Institute and different classes, the student always gets out of it what he puts into it. And so if you're only getting what's happening on Sunday, you'll not get the full import of what this series is designed for that I've laid out. But if you will give yourself diligently to the handouts and meditation and study the assignments each week and building a notebook, you will have something that will enrich you for years to come over and over and over again. And so it's really the purpose why we're doing it. So I want to encourage you on those fronts. We're in Leviticus chapter 20. We're looking at that second name there on your handout, Jehovah Makedesh. Jehovah is God is. And when we're speaking about Jehovah, as I explained last week, we're speaking about his eternity, that he is eternal, and that the qualities that we're learning about God are unceasing, or in other words, he is constantly about this work. His character is unchanging in these senses. This is his work based upon his character. Second quality here is that God is a God that sanctifies you. Leviticus chapter 20, verses 7 and 8. And who has that? Who's a young man here that has that and could read that? Young man, all right? 20 and under, young man, all right? Anybody that can read that for me this morning that has it? Sean, go ahead. Yes, sir. Okay, it's interesting here. He is the God that sanctifies us, and we have three doctrines or teachings about sanctification. Number one, we have positional sanctification. At the moment of salvation, he sanctifies us positionally. He takes us out of the world, and he positionally sets us apart unto himself. All right, that is positional sanctification. Then we have practical sanctification, all right? Here in Leviticus chapter 20, he says, sanctify yourselves, therefore. Now, wait a second, because verse number 8, he says, I am the one that sanctifies you. But in verse number 7, he's given a command to the people to sanctify themselves and be holy. So we have positional sanctification, a work of God. And then we have practical sanctification, which is God working in our hearts, and watch this, us yielding to God's work. That's how practical sanctification works out in your life. God brings truth to your heart. And when you yield to that truth, you submit, you humble yourself to that truth, then there's a practical sanctification that takes place where you become, watch this, you become more of God's. God gets more of you. You're more set apart unto the Lord. So, when you think of practical sanctification, what is an attitude this morning that will keep me from growing in sanctification? God's going to do His work in our hearts. God's faithful. God is a God that sanctifies, all right? Jehovah Makedesh, that is His work. Week in, week out, day in, day out, that is God's work in our lives. What hinders practical sanctification? What's the opposite of yielding? Resistance, stubbornness, that will hinder God's work in your life. God's going to do His work. God's going to expose you to truth. God's going to bring truth to your heart, a variety of different ways, through the work of the Holy Spirit, convicting work of the Holy Spirit, through preaching and teaching, through personal devotional time. But what's going to hinder the work of sanctification is me. My stubbornness. My hard-heartedness. That will limit God's work in your life. And so it's important. Young people, you know that and some of the young married couples, when you were in my youth group, the trump card in every Christian's life, the number one important card is a tender heart. A tender heart. If you keep a tender heart, then God can work in your life. If you lose a tender heart, your growth stops. And then God takes other means to work with hard hearts. Of course, that's a whole study I can't get into this morning. And so the work of sanctification, how does He do it? John 17:17, He primarily does it through truth. Jesus in His high priestly prayer said this, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." That's why whenever we get together as a church, whether the ambassadors are getting together or we're going to the nursing home, we always try to have a Bible challenge, because Bible is the center of everything that we do. It is the tool that God uses to sanctify us and change us. Turn over to Leviticus chapter 31. Leviticus chapter 31. And I'm looking for an old man. Now, I'm 48, so let's categorize old man by 50 and older this morning, okay? 50 and older, if you're 50 and older, and you have this verse or this reference, Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 through 14, who is it that has that could read that for me this morning? All right? Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 through 14. Older man, who can help me this morning? Brother Garland, all right. And can you go back and read verse 13 as well, Garland, for me? Exodus 31, verse 13 as well. So again, here is the wording, Jehovah Makedesh, I am the Lord that does sanctify you. And what I want you to see is that God's not just interested in your positional sanctification, though he is, but he's interested in your practical sanctification. Here he tells the people, I sanctify you, but ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, because I have set you apart unto myself. Then practically, it ought to affect your week. This day, the Sabbath, in the Old Testament, was to be set apart unto the Lord. Because I have positionally sanctified you, I want you to grow in practical sanctification. Now, my friend, that's true for all of us. Here's somebody that comes out, they come out of the world, and you know what? They have a tongue that is filthy. They're used to swearing. Their vocabulary is swear words. You know what? Positionally, when they get saved, they are sanctified. They're set apart unto the Lord. But because they are positionally sanctified unto the Lord, guess what? God wants to change their tongue. And he wants them to change. He wants them to yield to truth and say, you know what? That can't be a part of my life any longer because I belong to the Lord. I'm set apart unto the Lord. Here's somebody that every time that something comes up that doesn't go their way, they're just used to blowing their stack. They're just used to an anger explosion, a volcano. But they're set apart unto the Lord in salvation. They're positionally sanctified. You know what God wants to do? He wants to work on that anger issue and say, therefore, why don't you have a different spirit than anger? Why don't you put that off? We'll be dealing with some of this in the morning service. Put those spirits off, anger and jealousy and wrath and bitterness, and put on love and put on meekness. Why? Because I've sanctified you. You belong to me. And by the way, when we belong to God, we are representatives of God. And so sanctification is important. Sanctification, personal sanctification, has two parts. It means to be set apart from the world and set apart unto the Lord. Oftentimes, we think of sanctification or separation as a negative word. We only think of what we're having to give up. But we don't look at the positive side of it. That, you know what, when I give up something that is worldly, I give more of myself. God has more of me to use. That's wonderful. That's the teaching on sanctification. And then we have a third aspect of sanctification, and that is perfect sanctification. So there's coming a day when we go to heaven that we will be perfectly sanctified, totally set apart unto the Lord, and we look forward to that in glory. One could say that a guitar string is sanctified when it is put onto a guitar and correctly tuned so that it can make music. It is set aside for a specific purpose, and when it's put on that guitar and tuned, it is fulfilling its purpose. I often look at a guitar string and say, what else would I use that for? And you know what? As believers, we ought to see what else should we be used for other than to glorify God in our lives. And so it's important that we understand this teaching. The key is this. You need an ongoing heart of yieldedness to the Lord. God will do his work. God will change you. God will make you more like the image of Christ if you have a tender heart to yield unto the truth that you hear. All right? In this church, we are so blessed. We hear truth often, often, often. We got teachers everywhere. You're challenged in your own personal life. In practical ways, we put tools in your hands as we did the Bible study methods earlier this year. But may I warn you, lest you become dull of hearing, lest the ground in which the seed falls on, the Word of God, becomes a thorny ground where it doesn't get into the heart, where we don't yield to truth. All right? Yielding is a decision that I'm confronted with every time I hear truth. I need to ask myself, God, what are you asking me to yield to? Lord, what are you wanting to change in my life? What decision are you wanting me to make? And when somebody's tender, you know what? Growth can take place fast because God's consistent to speak to us. God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but he hath called us unto holiness, the Bible says. That's sanctification. That's separation, personal separation in our lives. Listen, don't be scared of that. Don't be scared of God's work of sanctification. Now, no, there's some things that the chisel hits, and we're a little bit like a piece of oak wood when the chisel hits oak wood. You know, oak's pretty tough wood, all right? And I may have to hit that oak a few times. And sometimes in our lives, God takes truth and he has to bring it from a couple angles to chisel some things out of our lives that, you know what, we like to hold on to. It's our pet sin, so to speak. Or it's what we give ourselves to as a priority in our life that's not a biblical priority. And God wants to chisel away. But you know what? You know what he's doing in all that? He's conforming you to the image of Christ. We should not be afraid of that. We should say, boy, you know what, Lord? Do what you need to in order to get me into the image of Christ. That's the goal, Lord, that you have for my life. And so God is a sanctifier. Number three there. Number three, we're looking at an attribute of God this morning, and that is God is trustworthy. God is trustworthy. Turn over in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter number 7. Deuteronomy chapter number 7. If you're a vet this morning, you're a veteran, we honored you last week, and you get this verse, could you, one of you, stand up and read this for us? A veteran, any veteran that's got that passage of Scripture that can read it for us. Dave, go ahead. Verse number 9, Deuteronomy 7, verse number 9. All right. Here we learn that God is trustworthy. The quality of being trustworthy is essential to God being God. God cannot be God if God's not trustworthy. And so, help me, what makes someone trustworthy? What makes somebody trustworthy, Dave? Okay, good. They're reliable. You don't have to second guess them. What else? What other words would you give? Brother Kevin? Consistency. Consistency. God's a consistent God. Brother Skip? Honesty. Okay, good. Somebody that's trustworthy is honest. They're truthful. We could say they're not forgetful. Somebody that's faithful is not forgetful. All right? What else? Any other words that you would use to describe a faithful God? Dependable. Bob? Caring. All right. This is what we're learning about God here. What makes somebody untrustworthy? Eric? They're lazy. Okay. Good. All right. Dave? They're erratic. Okay. Up and down. Brother Gene in the back. All right, good. Say one thing, they do another, all right? Untrustworthy. This is what makes God practically, what can we look at and see that God is trustworthy? He's truthful, right? Yep. What can you see with your eyes that makes God trustworthy? Anna? Fulfilled prophecies. Okay, good. We look in Scripture and we see prophecies in the Old Testament that are fulfilled in the New Testament. By the way, hundreds of prophecies. Not just one prophecy, but certainly we see fulfilled prophecy where God said, this is going to happen. Like Brother Gene said, here's my yay, and it happened. What else can you see with your naked eye that helps you to see that God is trustworthy?
The law of gravity.
Okay, the law of gravity, for sure. All right, Esther? Okay, order of the universe, Brother Garland?
God's word. He put himself.
Okay, good. These are good. Creation, prophecies, his word. In other words, not only is God just saying something, but we see through other means that God is a trustworthy God. Yesterday, somebody was debating with me, and they said, you know, this Bible is good, but the using the word God, it has error in it. And I said, no. I said, no, there's no errors in the Scripture. I said, if there's errors in the Scripture, then none of this is trustworthy. I said, if there's one error, we don't have a trustworthy God. But the truth is, we do have a trustworthy God. He's completely reliable, and that's important. That being said, when do we find it hard to trust God? Can I say it this way? When do we find it hard to trust a trustworthy God? Brother Ed? Okay, good. Exactly right. When we come up against something that we're unsure of or something we've never faced before. Sean? Okay. When we lose sight or focus of the trustworthy God. All right, Lil? What's that? When we're going through trials and we don't see ends, right? And that happens in our lives. So, when we have trouble trusting God, guess what? The enemy has taken a pot shot at the character of God because he is completely trustworthy. Dear saint, this particular attribute of God can help you a lot to understand that he is a faithful God. God has given both his promises and he's followed through on his promises. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 7 this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Here we have his covenant with David. And I think it's very interesting in this passage of Scripture that two of the four things that we are studying in this particular study on the biography of God are mentioned. Here the Bible says, verse number 12 of 2 Samuel chapter 7, "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." Drop down to verse 27. "For thou, O Lord of hosts," Lord of the armies, right? We learned that last week. The military name of God. "For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee." Here's David's prayer now unto God after hearing God's covenant and promises to him. Verse 28. "And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant." You know what David took? He didn't take what God promised him and questioned it, did he? He didn't go, I'm not sure God really means what he says. You know what? He knew God was trustworthy. And when God made a promise to him, though that promise didn't come true at that moment, David said, "Lord, I know thy words be true. I know enough about you, God, that what you said, I can trust you that you're going to come through on it. Dear saint, you may be struggling with doubts about your salvation this morning. And the devil just may be playing on your mind and just putting doubts there. Can you go back? Can I help you this morning? Can you rest in a trustworthy God? That God said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You know, much of doubt is affected, much of doubt is strengthened by lack of trust in a trustworthy God. And you know how to strengthen that area of your life? Take God at his word. Take God at his word. If you are anxious this week, or you've been anxious this week, take God at his word. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know what, God? I trust you that if I pray and I come to you with thanksgiving, Lord, that you promise me peace in my anxious moments and trials of life. God, I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to believe your word. My friend, you have to believe that God is trustworthy. He is a faithful God. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful, in Psalm chapter 119, verse 138. In Titus chapter 1, verse number 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. If he promises eternal life, he's going to come through on eternal life. Important. Trust ye in the Lord Jehovah, Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And then lastly, God is all wise. God is all wise. Romans chapter 16. I have somebody read that. Adam Dombeck, can you read Romans 16, verse 27 for me? And then Ben Hoxie, can you read 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 17. Romans 16, 27, we're dealing with God is all wise. What does that mean, preacher? It means he doesn't make any mistakes. God never makes an incorrect judgment about you. Never, ever, ever, ever does he make an incorrect judgment. God never makes any mistake by what he allows into your life. He is an all-wise God. Adam, Romans 16, verse 27. God to God only wise. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Ben? Amen. God is perfectly wise. What does it mean, preacher? It means he knows how to apply his knowledge to every situation in your life. The only wise God knows what he's doing. Can you trust that in your life this morning? In the midst of a financial reversal? In the midst of a job situation that you're dealing with? In the midst of family trouble? Can you trust that God is all wise? God knows what he's doing. God's greatest goal in your life is his glory. That's his wisdom, and he knows how to achieve it. The all-wise God always has total and perfect knowledge of billions and billions of relevant factors in every situation. Now, you and I, when we make decisions on factors, right? We look at different factors. As a pastor, when I'm making decisions, there are multiple factors that I have to think through on some of the decisions that I make. And so we decide where to put the weight on the most important factors in that decision. Decisions regarding finances, When we went into budget meeting this year, one of the things that I talked to the men about was raising our building fund budget. Why? Because we're going to be working on a building. So that was a factor in the as we looked at the financial aspect of our budget. We had to take that factor into consideration. You take factors. You take factors into how you spend the resources that God's given you. You take factors into what changes need to occur in your home. We consider everything factors. Can I say this? In our human wisdom, we don't always place the weight on the right factors. But God in his wisdom in your life always factors in the proper factors and leads you accordingly in your life. God is all wise. Can you trust him as an all-wise God this morning? Sometimes we don't like what God's doing, and so we pitch an attitude at God. We have an attitude because we don't trust an all-wise God. We don't know God as being all-wise. Sometimes we take situations and we take them back into our hands, and we're going to solve them in a fleshly manner without wisdom, and we're going to make a bigger mess of things in our relationships if we do that, instead of trusting and waiting on God to work and saying, God, you are all wise. Or, Lord, before I make any other step, Lord, I'm going to trust your all wise word to lead me. God is all wise. You need to understand that he is wise in heart. He is mighty in strength. Human wisdom can be frustrated by circumstantial factors outside of our control. But God in his wisdom never loses control in any situation. God's wisdom is a communicable attribute. So is his trustworthiness. When I say it's communicable, what I'm saying is there are non-communicable attributes. Like he's all powerful. I can't imitate any part of that. He's all-knowing. I can't imitate any part of that. But when we get to his trustworthiness and when we get to his wisdom, I can learn his wisdom to be wise. I can't be all-wise, but I can grow in God's wisdom primarily through his word. I can ask for God's wisdom in James chapter 1, verse number 5. I can grow in being reliable and trustworthy in my life. That is the image of Christ that I can grow in. As you go through this week, as you stop and you count your blessings this week, would you remember he's the Lord of hosts? He's fought some battles for you, and he's going to fight more. Let him fight the battles. He's the Lord of armies. Remember, he's the God that sanctifies. Thank him for, Lord, I remember the day that you sanctified me positionally. And Lord, I want to keep a heart that's yielding to you when it comes to truth so that practically I can be more set apart unto you. Lord, thank you for being trustworthy. God, I can trust you with everything that's going on in my life. And at the same time, you are all wise. God, you're worthy of my worship. You're worthy of my praise. We're learning to know God because they that know their God or the name of God will put their trust in him. Psalm chapter 9, verse number 10. Hopefully, last couple weeks, as we've opened up to begin to deal with some of the specific names and attributes of God, hopefully your awe of God is increased. Your reverence of God is increased. But hopefully at the same time you are learning God is interested in me. God, these qualities that I'm learning about God are personal to me. God fights for me. God sanctifies me. God's trustworthy to me. God's all wise to me. And that'll strengthen your relationship as you understand who God is. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for what we've studied this morning. And Lord, we thank you for truth. And Lord, an almighty God that, Lord, has the whole universe on your mind, Lord, just sustaining the universe. And yet, Lord, in your infinite wisdom, you chose to reveal yourself to us, first as creator, but, Lord, also through our conscience. And then, Lord, through the word, you chose to, Lord, lay all of this out in the scriptures so that we would know who you are, Lord, and what you're like, that, Lord, we could trust you and, Lord, have a wonderful relationship, Lord, where you are, Lord, what we're learning about, you are, Lord, that way to us unceasingly, Lord. This is who you are. And, Father, we thank you for the time that we get to study this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget to take your homework seriously this week. God is a refiner. Maybe next week in a Eureka moment, somebody may want to testify on what you learned about that and God being a refiner. We'll start our morning service in about 9 minutes. Choir, if you quickly get to your place.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.